Well, it's great to be with you. Again, we've had, on these Saturdays we've done in the past, we've just had times of real breakthrough and a lot of fun and good food, which is always a good reason to turn out. But I sent some notes off earlier this morning to Alan to print up, and we'll pass those out in a few moments. But in preparation for this day, this weekend, being with you, the last couple of months have been quite busy for me, but I was praying and thinking and just couldn't kind of come to grips with what we should do, because we've done prophetic training here in the past. We've done teaching the Father Heart of God. We've done training on praying for the sick. And I kind of felt in my heart to revisit some of those things, which we will today. But it wasn't until like last night. Now I feel like my authority's there. But it wasn't until last night that I kind of came to grips with what I feel like the Lord would have His focus on, and really what His goals are. And I'm hesitant to use this word just to talk about one day together, because it's a lifelong process. But I believe God wants to bring about some transformation today. And, you know, the Bible talks about going from strength to strength, glory to glory, and breakthrough to breakthrough. It seems like for a lot of people in the body of Christ, nobody in this church, but the church down the road, it seems that for a lot of Christians, rather than going from glory to glory and strength to strength, it's going from trial to trial. And, you know, we just go into these deep valleys, and we barely survive that and crawl over the desert, you know, the sand dune in the desert, you know, and oh, Lord, what's the next big thing that's going to hit me up? But I think I've spoken on this before a little bit, and I may revisit a little bit today. But if we can learn to view the seasons of challenge in our life from God's perspective, it's a time when we're going through those difficult seasons and challenges where, like David sang, that I was in this pit that I could not climb out of, but I waited patiently, Lord. It's not a time of God abandoning us. It's a time of God proving His faithfulness. And the Bible talks about that when we come out of times of suffering, times of difficulty, we're now equipped to comfort those with the same comfort which we received. And I think it's so important that we understand that it's when we talk about having the message of Jesus, it's not just having the words or having a formula that we say to people when we present the gospel, but we are the message. We're to reflect Christ Jesus. And just as Christ went through suffering to come into His inheritance, sometimes God allows that. You know, they say there's two types of people in the world, people that say the cup is half empty, and then people say the cup is half full. I said that in a message one time, and afterwards an engineer came up to me and said, no, an engineer would say, let's redesign the cup. But the reality is that we can go through our seasons with God thinking, you know, this is just challenge after challenge, but hallelujah, someday we're going to get to heaven. Or we can have that different spirit, and not a different Holy Spirit, but a different focus of our heart that God said about Caleb and Joshua, that when they went into the promised land to spy it out, they saw the same giants, the same walled fortresses, the iron chariots, the fierce enemies that the other 10 spies saw. And they weren't in denial of the difficulties facing them, but their attitude was, if God is with us, we can take the land. And I think that, you know, I've been a preacher, conference speaker for over 3.5 decades now. One thing I think that preachers are sometimes guilty of is we're casting vision or challenging the body of Christ to rise up, but not always equipping everyone to do it. And that's really the role of Ephesians 4 when it talks about the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. They're not there to do the ministry, but to equip. And so how do we become equipped in life? Part of it is what we learn up here, tools for life, tools about relationship, tools about prayer, you know, all of that, the biblical way of going about things. But the other has to do with transformation. And, you know, last night we had a fun time of praying for people. A number of you that were here were powerfully touched by the Holy Spirit. That's a great thing, and that brings about transformation. Paul said we go from glory to glory and we're transformed by that touch of God. But in Romans chapter 12, it talks about we're also transformed by the renewing of our minds. That it's not just a matter of learning things, but as we learn a different mindset, we learn to perceive things differently. And something I've been thinking a lot about recently in my own life, but as well some of the churches I've been with in the last 6 months or so, is that when it came time for the younger generation to cross over the Jordan River, we know the older generation had out of fear rejected it, you know, and walked away. And I'm not speaking this morning about a chronological age group, because we need the Joshuas and the Calebs as well as the younger generation. You know, I believe in what a lot of people have been saying, that there's a revival of youth happening, but that's going to come. But I believe it's going to take the whole body of Christ, the male and female, the older ones, younger ones, and the middle. It's the middle age that are in trouble. You know, Joel said the young men and women will prophesy, the older ones will dream dreams. He said the middle-aged, you're just out to lunch, you know. But I didn't say that. But I think that we're coming into something, and one of the things that Joshua said to the people as they got near the Jordan, he said, consecrate yourselves. And consecration, a lot like repentance, it's not just a matter of saying, well, I was doing this, I'm not going to do that anymore. But it has to do with the renewed mindset. That word repent that John the Baptist was preaching, that Jesus began to preach, that he sent the 12 out with the message, say, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's been reduced in the contemporary church to mean just stop sinning or stop destructive behavior. But it means far more than that. The word pent is the same word we would use in original language to describe a penthouse apartment building or a penthouse hotel room. It means to be at a high place looking down. And really, when John the Baptist, then Jesus, and the 12, and the 70 began to preach this message, repent, the kingdom of God, what they were really saying was, get a different mindset. You're stepping into something new. The presence of the king, the power of the king, the transformation of the king's love, it's at hand. And I would like to just take a moment and talk about one of the names of God in the Old Testament, and that we translate it as Most High God. My mind's gone blank. It'll come to me in a moment. It's still early. There are two types of people in the morning. There's people who wake up and they say, good morning, Lord. Then there's people who wake up and say, good Lord, it's morning. I'm kind of in that category until I've had my third double espresso. El Elan, that's the name of it. But we translate that as Most High God. Daniel spoke quite a bit about El Elan. But it doesn't just mean God is on high, looking down upon everything, but it means God is overseeing every single area of your life. That's why Jesus said so adamantly, the Father knows your needs even before you ask. He even knows the number of hairs that are upon our head. Although that's much easier for God with some people like Alan than others. But anyway, but God is just so carefully watching over us because he is a loving father, as we talked about last night, is committed to bringing us into destiny, calling, and purpose, fulfillment in life. We're not here merely to survive and then go to heaven. We are here to know the height, the width, the breadth, the fullness of God's love. And we're here to make it known. And as I said last night, kingdom living is in the giving. There's a greater joy in taking what God gives us and giving it away than what the world will ever realize by, you know, just hoarding and, you know, having titles or popularity or, you know, whatever yardstick people use. And I felt this morning that before we actually get into our notes, to just talk about this a little bit, that the reason we can have a confidence, not just about heaven to come, but a confidence here on earth, that God really wants to bless us to the point that streams of living water flow out of us, as it were, that we're so blessed that we can't help but be a blessing, is because he's watching over us so carefully. And I know that when we're going through difficult times or challenges, it can seem like God's a million miles away. But actually, you know, if we feel like we're being demoted, it's usually because God is preparing us for promotion. Now, sometimes we do end up in the wilderness because of our own bad decisions, and sometimes we do need to repent in the contemporary sense of that word. But a lot of times, just as Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, you know, when he came out of Jordan, the first thing he was led to do by the Spirit was not go and start preaching and delivering and casting out demons, all that sort of stuff. But the first thing he was led to do was go into the wilderness for a time of fasting and praying. And for us, the wilderness feels like promotion, but actually it's God dealing with us. And when you're in the wilderness, the desert, as it were, like they were, it's hot and it's dry, it's lonely, there's cactus, there's snakes and scorpions and a bunch of rocks, and it seems like a very unattractive place unless you're a complete masochist. But the reality is, it's God gaining our attention and getting us in a place where he can speak to us. If it's true, which every word of God is true, that God has more for us than our eyes have seen, more than our ears have heard, more than we can understand, how are we supposed to bridge that gap from what we can't understand to what God has for us? If it's true, as Paul said in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, that we're to give glory to God because he can do far more, say far more. Wow, what enthusiasm. If God wants to do far more than we can think or ask, how are we supposed to come in to the more than we can think or ask? That's what the prophetic is. It's God speaking to us. But sometimes we can't hear because, so to speak, the dial of our heart is just stuck in a survival mentality or stuck in a, you know, I don't know, whatever it may be. And we read certain passages, as Paul talked about, Romans 8, that we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. That sometimes feels just the antithesis of where we're at in life. But yet, God is faithful in all these things. If you've got your Bible, we're going to pray in a moment. But if you've got your Bible, turn, if you would, to Jeremiah chapter 1. In Jeremiah chapter 1, it has to do with God's first, well, I don't want to say first, but as far as we know, his first real confronting is the wrong word, but revealing his will for Jeremiah's life. And in verse 4, it says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. And I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations." Now, obviously, we're not all called to be prophets to the nations, but the point is, it's true for all of us that even as David said in Psalm 139, even when we were in our mother's womb, the hand of God was upon us. Fearfully and wonderfully did he create us. And that doesn't just mean physically creating, but creating us with intentionality for our lives. And David went on to say, God, you knew all of my days before one of them began. But then Jeremiah, he responded in verse 6, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. Well, there's some of us here, we're no longer youths, or utes, as the movie said. But the point is, whether you're 88 or 18, God is always wanting to lead you into things you've never done before. He's always wanting to take you in a land where there's giants that are intimidating. And so compared to God, we're all, as Jeremiah said, we're all youth, we're all young. We don't understand what's before us. And that's a good thing, because it causes us to press into the Lord. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you want to say? What do you have before me? And the Lord said to him in verse 7, do not say I'm only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, declares the Lord. And this is, you know, one of the greatest promises of salvation, even the name of your church, Emmanuel. God is with us. That's one of the names that Isaiah prophetically over 700 years before Jesus was born gave of Jesus, Emmanuel. And God is with us by his Spirit, by his presence. Verse 9, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I've set you this day over nations, over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build and to plant. As we consider what's going on in the world today, I mean, even last night at a late dinner after the meeting, you know, talking with Alan and Ian, you know, they said to me, is President Trump really going to meet with Kim? And is there really going to be some resolution to the possible conflict coming out of North Korea? I said, well, yeah, I've got the president's ear. Let me tell you what's no, I didn't. But we look at all these things, and, you know, I remember reading an article even 15 years ago by a leading journalist who had been in journalism for 20, 30 years at that point. And 15 years ago, he made this statement, there is more real news happening in just a year now than used to happen in a five-year period. We are in a time, and I'm not making an eschatological statement when I say this, but we are in a time when everything that can be shaken is being shaken. And there's nervousness all over the world about what's going to happen to the economy. And I think most of us are aware in the Western world that the average family is just 30 days away sometimes from a financial crisis if everything were to go wrong. You know, we're living in a time where what's going to happen with North Korea? What's going to happen, you know, in the Middle East? All these things that are taking place. But in the midst of that, God wants to give us a revelation that the nations are being given to Christ Jesus. And I know most of you know this, but there have been more people that have given their lives to Christ Jesus in the last 20 years globally than the whole rest of the church in the last 2,000 years. We are living in a time of great harvest, and there's things happening. I'm sure most of you have heard this, but there's a huge move of the Spirit going on right now in Iraq. You know, there's a huge move of the Spirit going on in Iran right now. There's a move of the Spirit going on in many of the Middle Eastern nations and Asian nations. I was with a group of international leaders just about a year ago. We had a meeting, gathering in Montreal, and the pastor of the largest Christian church in all the Middle East, he's in Cairo, he said that according to anonymous polls that have been taken place, there had recently taken place in Egypt, at least 30% of all Egyptians are saying they're no longer followers of Islam. Now, that does not mean they're coming out and preaching Jesus or even following Jesus. But what it means is 30% of all people in Egypt are secretly, privately saying they're completely disillusioned with organized religion. They're completely disillusioned with all the things that are happening in the name of that. And they do believe at this point that something like 15% of all Egyptians are in their hearts now believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is something that's happening in our day and age. And it is so critical that we're not taking our cues from the BBC or, you know, whatever news outlet on the media or television you watch. It's so important that we have a global perspective coming from the throne of God. And so Jesus said, when you hear about these wars and rumors of wars, everything that can be being shaken that can be shaken, it's not a time to let our love grow cold. It's a time for realizing this is a great hour to be alive. But we go from that macro, the big picture, down to right here in Durham. What's happening with my life? And God, what are you doing? God is watching over you. And he is so specific and so intentional with the plans for you. And the greatest gift of all is his presence. Emmanuel is with us. And it says in verse 9, as I read, the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said, see, I put my words in your mouth. I have set you over nations. We're to have an impact on cultural groups, our neighborhoods, our workplace, everything we can think of. Verse 11, and the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word almond is basically mentioned three times in the Old Testament. In the Hebrew, it's the word shakad. And I'm giving you the Mark DuPont working definition of the word shakad, so don't look in the Strong's or something and say, oh, well, he was off on that. But in a sense, the word shakad, it means to watch and wait and see in the Spirit of God what God is saying, what God is doing. The other two times that the word shakad is mentioned, it first has to do with the instructions God gave Moses about how Bezalel, the craftsman, was to create the things in the tabernacle of Moses, that later went on to the temple. That, you know, in the holy place, there were three pieces of furniture. There was the table of showbread, which represents Jesus. There was the altar of incense that represents our worship and prayers rising up to the Lord. But there was also the lampstand. And we've all seen those lampstands or pictures of it. A single pole came up with a cup on the top of the pole, and then three branches came out on either side with six more cups. But on the outside of the cup that contained the oil that they would burn, and this is symbolic of the light of God's presence, let there be light, what was adorned on the outside of those cups were almond flowers budding. And there's something about being in the presence of the Lord that you see and hear things that otherwise you would never see, never hear. The other time that shakad is used in the Hebrew is there was a disagreement among the leaders of the 12 tribes with Moses and Aaron of the Levites about who should be leading. And the other 11 tribes said, how come you guys get to call all the shots? And so God gave Moses instructions that these 12 leaders were to take their 12 shepherd staffs, which essentially is a piece of dead wood, right, and put it overnight in the Holy of Holies. And when Moses came in the morning to get the shepherd staff, it says that Aaron's shepherd staff, guess what? It had budded almond flowers. How does something that's completely dead, a shepherd's staff, you know, that maybe has even been passed on from father to son, you know, been around forever, how can something like that take place? Very simply, in the presence of the Lord, there is liberty, there is freedom. And part of the renewal God has for us is going to a deeper awareness, a deeper reverence, a deeper appreciation for what Jesus did in the cross, that we're so cleansed of our sins in the eyes of the Father, that the Holy Spirit, the Prince of God Almighty, is with us. And where he's at, there's no limitations. You know, we read about the extreme things, miracles, such as when Paul prayed for a piece of cloth and was taken to a sick person, a healing would happen. And I remember when I was in seminary in San Diego, California, way back when, that we were covering in one of our classes, going through the book of Acts. And the professor would start each day, you know, of this particular class, reading a chapter, and then he would make comments on it. And we read that chapter where it talks about, you know, Paul would pray over claws and take it, or even Peter's shadow would fall upon somebody and a miracle would take place. And in that class, there were about 50, 60 students. Many of them were already working as pastors, some of them in their late 20s. There were even a few guys there in their 40s and 50s, you know, going after their doctorate or whatever. But I remember as he read that and finished, one guy who was already a pastor and probably his early 40s, he said, "Come on, isn't that just suggestive? That's not literal, is it?" But the reality is, in the presence of God, what's impossible for man is never difficult for God. And I tell this story very humbly because it has nothing to do with any piety or spirituality about myself. But I remember one time at a church in California, we were doing three or four nights of meetings, and it was either the second or third night, and this is a documented story, it's actually gone into a testimony book of the church. A woman came into the church who had recently, like a year or two before, come to the Lord, and she'd lived a very drugged out lifestyle for many years. And she came in, and as before the meeting began, she hadn't been there the first night, and she had never heard me speak before, didn't know I was the speaker, but she saw me up front talking with a couple of the pastors, and the Lord said to her, "I want you to go up and touch that guy." And she thought, I can't do that, you know. And the Lord said, "Just go up and touch that guy." I said, "I can't do that." And so the meeting got going. We had the worship, the message, and we did that night a fire tunnel, you know. I had the pastors and elders come up and stand on facing each other. Then everybody in the crowd passed through. We prayed for them. It took a while, but I was standing at the end of the line praying for people finally at the end as they came through. And my back was kind of facing where everybody was seated. And at one point, I feel a touch on my elbow. And I turn around, and there's a woman looking kind of embarrassed, kind of looking at me and running sideways back to her seat at the same time, you know. And I thought, well, they're charismatics, whatever. But this is what happened to her, and this is a documented miracle, that she had spent, as I said, years just living a drugged-out lifestyle, and she had had a very bad accident and broken her lower leg. And she was afraid to go to the hospital because, you know, they would be able to pick up pretty easily. You know, she was a severe addict and, you know, deal with that. And she didn't want that. So she just got even more drugged up, and she got some friends to mix some plaster together and make a cast. And when she was really drugged up, they pulled real hard on her foot, straightened her bones out, and put the cast on her. And as you can guess, you know, 3 or 4 months later when they cut the thing off, they hadn't set the bones right. And the bones had grown crooked back together, and her right leg was stuck out, a bit of an angle. She had very little flexibility. And she had learned to live with that, and then she came to know the Lord Jesus. And, you know, she loved the Lord, but she thought, you know, this is just my penitence, you know, this problem with my foot for all my years. You know, she really didn't understand the grace of God. Well, when the Lord said, "Go up and touch the guy," I said, "I can't do that." But when she came through the fire tunnel and then, you know, she's passed through, she touched my elbow, she walked away. And she was embarrassed as I turned and looked at her, and she's walking really quickly to her seat. But by the time she got to her seat, she noticed that for the first time in like 15 years, she was walking with absolutely no pain, and her foot was completely normal. She was in so much shock, she didn't know what to think about this. And her favorite thing as a young woman and a teenager before she got addicted to drugs was going up to the mountains and hiking. And so the next morning, she headed up to the mountains. We have great mountains just about a half hour, 45 minutes away from downtown San Diego. And she went hiking for hours there. And the point of this, again, this has nothing to do with my spirituality or my piety. You know, one time my wife was with me in a conference, and a woman came up to me and said, "Oh, you're married to Mark DuPont? Wow, is he fasting and praying all the time?" My wife had to bite her hand to keep from laughing. You know, but when we're filled with the Spirit of God, those things, crazy things we read about the Bible, there's no issue for God. And that woman got completely healed, and she got her case documented, went back to her doctor that she'd been seeing. The doctor couldn't explain it, and went into a testimonial book of the church. And here again, back to Jeremiah 1, when God said, "Jeremiah, what do you see?" And he said, "Well, I see the shakad, I see the almond branch." You know, and there's this connotation that when you're in the presence of the Lord, worshiping, watching, waiting, listening, that God begins to show you things that you never would have seen otherwise. And I'm not talking about just what you do on your own, but being in meetings like this Sunday morning, or your time of devotion Monday morning or Monday night, whatever you do, coming together in our home groups and praying together, that when we are focused on the Lord, so to speak. You know, I love that verse in Isaiah 30, verse 21, I think. "You will hear a voice behind you, turn this way or turn that way." And so the promises, Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, and 1 Corinthians 2, 9, that God has far more for us than we can imagine, than we can even think or ask. How are we going to go from where we're at right now, both as individuals, families, but also corporately as a people, how are we going to come from here into there? It is true. God wants to take us from strength to strength, even though that too can have about 80 O's behind it, because it can be a long season going from glory to glory, strength to strength. But it's the presence of God, the power of God, and the leading of God in our lives. And we're going to pray in just a moment, but I really want to encourage you as we're here today, and obviously for the rest of your life, really, that when you think about God the Father, when you think about His nurturing of you, His caring for you, also think about His careful watching over your life. He is El Elyon. He is Most High God over every detail. And just as He said to Jeremiah, "I am watching over you to perform My word in you." He is watching over you. He is watching over me to bring us into the destiny, the calling, the future that for all of us, that is more than our eyes have seen, more than our ears have heard, more than we can think or ask. Is this making any sense to anybody at all? Good. Let's stand. Let's just be open before the presence of the Lord. And we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. But would you just close your eyes and put a hand over your heart? But I should say first, turn to the person next to you and say, "Don't bother me for the next 5 minutes." Tell them you're about to receive a download from God. You don't want to be interrupted. So, just close your eyes and put a hand over your heart. Our hearts are the place where the Holy Spirit resides in our lives. And would you pray out loud after me? Father God, You have more for me. In Your goodness, in Your creativity, in Your power, than I can ever imagine or think. And this morning, we give glory to You, because You will do far more than we can think or ask, according to Your power that works within us. So, Father, as You're calling us as a people to step into new lands, to face new giants, we consecrate our hearts before You. And we say, "Teach us, Lord. Teach us Your ways. that we might know you. Help us to change our thinking, to know that we are not here merely to survive, but you want to take me, you want to take us into a new level of strength, a new revelation of glory. Father, Jesus said, to ask of you in Jesus' name, and you will do that so that our joy might be made complete. Would you give us the gift of faith today to take our thinking into the next level? We don't want our past experiences to determine our future vision. Now just allow the Holy Spirit to rest on you right now. I know that there's some people here, you're in the midst of a very difficult season right now, and you're in that proverbial pit that David talked about, and maybe you're in way over your head, so you can't see above that pit. Maybe all you're seeing is what you're surrounded with right now. But like Daniel, when he was thrown into the den with the lions, the Lord is there with you. He is faithful. He will accomplish the good work that he has begun within you. In the name of Jesus, I proclaim destiny, calling, fulfillment, and purpose over your life. Destiny, calling, fulfillment. I proclaim the word of God that he desires to take you into more than your eyes have seen, more than your ears have heard, more than you can understand. Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that this morning, would you, as Paul prayed, would you enlighten the eyes of our hearts to behold you, that to realize what's impossible for us is never difficult for you. Just keep your eyes closed, stay focused on the Lord. If you prayed those words that I led you in and you experienced a tension within your heart or your soul, kind of like a voice was saying, I want to believe, but I find it so hard to believe. Would you just raise a hand right now to the Lord? This is not to embarrass anybody, but I believe there's a breakthrough for some of us. If you found it hard to believe those words, you should pray. Just raise a hand up high right now. And again, this is not to embarrass anybody. It's just we want to bless you. There's a breakthrough for you. Just raise a hand again, if that's you. Now, let's just keep our focus on the Lord. But those of you that are not raising your hand, would you look around you? And if you see somebody with a hand up, would you put a hand upon their shoulder? And would you begin to speak the gift of faith, bless them to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord right now? Just put a hand on their shoulder. Begin to bless them right now.